Just looking at that verse in the 995 song, I marvel at this saving grace. Tonight's message, we'll be touching on God's grace. We'll be talking on something that's great, but there's not enough time that we can spend on this something that's great as grace. And we're looking at the unlimited grace of God. Someone has said, love that goes upward is worship, love that goes outward is affection, and love that stoops is grace. Going back to the Hebrew, grace is to bend or to stoop. People have said that grace was not really a word commonly used by Jesus, but was taught and lived out. Grace is something that you'll never be able to pay back. We see many examples of grace in the Bible. Jesus on the cross forgiving, the adulterous woman where Jesus said, he who has sinned cast the first stone. We see forgiveness there, and as well as grace. The Good Samaritan. We see mercy, but we also see grace in those stories. As we'll see in this historical event that we'll look at soon, we will see grace, unlimited grace. We will see grace personified. We turn to John chapter 4, and we'll be reading from verse 1 through to 42. And it's about... Okay. The Pharisees... I will just cover all that. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty. I have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." As I said before, tonight we'll be looking at, or touching on, God's grace. Now, grace is to stoop. Grace is also said to be a freely, unmerited favour and love of God. Grace goes much deeper than mercy. If someone is helpless or hurting or desperate, God may send his love and show his mercy. But it took the sinful state to show the mercy. Like, someone had to be helpless and in dire need of love, and God would then show his love towards that person. And that would be mercy. But grace goes much deeper than that. It's free and unmerited. That just simply means that nothing we could do or have done to make God love us more or less. Tonight we'll be seeing this grace being unlimited, the unlimited grace of God. If we can go back to verse 4, we see that Jews didn't get along with the Samaritans. The Samaritans could be traced back to, if I can say, early Jews who had intermarried with the foreigners. And in the Jews' eyes, they were seen as not pure Jews. In most and all travels, the Jews would go on alternate route. They would not go through Samaria and would not associate with Samaritans. However, Jesus on this occasion went through Samaria and also associated with these Samaritans. So God's grace was not limited by race or tradition. The tradition was that the Jews would go another way, and the race was not to associate with Samaritans. If we go down to verse 5 tells us that Jesus rested. Now this shows his humanity. Now Jesus is God's Son and the Creator of, and Lord of all things, yet he stooped to enter humanity as a baby, and now as a man on this occasion asked for a drink. Jesus humbled himself and stooped to save us. Even to show he was lower, he was sitting at the well. He wasn't standing, he was sitting at the well, even to show that he was lower than humankind. There was a need on this occasion. Jesus asked for a drink. Now, to open up the conversation lines, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" It could have been that Jesus was thirsty, but it also could mean that it was a question he was seeking an answer for, just to see what the reaction would be. Say, for example, if there was a beggar on the street that we see nowadays, like a homeless person, and they might come up to us and start a conversation with us. Are we the type of people that might walk the other way? Or are we the type of people that would go over and talk to them? Like, I'm speaking, I don't know whether I would do that, but just see what the reaction of what the Samaritan woman reaction would be. Jesus asked, "Will you give me a drink?" Knowing the tension between the two races, if I can say, the Samaritans and the Jews, what would be the reaction? It could have been that he was thirsty, but we'll later on look at that a little bit in more detail. But in those days, no respectable Jew would talk to a woman under such circumstances. Firstly, she was a Samaritan, a member of the hated mixed race. Secondly, she was known to be living in sin. And thirdly, she was in a public place. In those days, men didn't speak to women in public places during the day, apparently. But anyway, Jesus was not limited by this. God's grace was not limited by race, social position, or past sins. Jesus asked, "Will you give me a drink?" A question to which there is a response. The woman said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Maybe the woman knew of her unworthiness, maybe not. She definitely knew of the tension between the Jews, and the Samaritans. If we can go down to verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus turns the whole situation around. At first, he was the one asking for a drink and she had the water. Now he was speaking to her as if she were the thirsty one and he had the water. Instead of asking for a drink, he declared that she needed a drink from his fountain. In verse 10, Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God. So what is this gift of God? Well, of course, as we sung earlier, and as I've stated before, this gift of God is grace. This grace is Jesus Christ himself. Grace that's magnified and grace personified. Now, there is a misunderstanding from the Samaritan woman. She was thinking this water was from a physical well, somewhere that she had to then draw this water from. She had to work hard to draw this water from. But God's grace was not limited by her misunderstanding. Now, if we look at verse 15, she was really eager to get this living water. In verse 15 it says, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.'" She wanted it. She really wanted this water. But Jesus didn't simply give her the water of life. Jesus knew that she was not ready for the living water. Jesus knew of her need. There were still two issues that needed to be addressed: her sin and his true identity. Jesus doesn't offer cheap grace. He was not offering grace and eternal life as an add-on to a sinful life. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. The Lord Jesus went right to the heart of the issue. Before the well of living water, she needed the wave of willingness to investigate her life and confess her sin. Her sin was complex and she didn't really explain everything about her sin, but just replied, "I have no husband." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back," and she said, "I have no husband." God's grace was not limited by her immoral lifestyle. If you look at verse 17, it says, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." God's grace was not limited by her immoral lifestyle. Now, this hit a nerve with the woman, and she tries to wiggle away out of it by bringing religion in the conversation and changing the subject. As we look at verse 19, "So," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Now, if we look back at all her replies, she occasionally didn't really show respect to Christ. At that stage, she probably didn't know that this was the Lord Jesus Christ. She either, if you look back, in her first response, she just said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." Then she said, "Oh, sir, you have nothing to draw." Then she goes ahead and says, "Sir, can you give me this water?" Then when it hit a nerve, she just went straight and said, "Oh, I have no husband." But God's grace was still not limited by that. God's grace allows you to come as you are. And that's just the amazing fact of that. But yet we see her still confused. All she did was to come and get water. And in her conversation, her sin had been exposed and she was challenged to be a true worshipper of God. Finally, she says, after all the confusion, "A Messiah is coming and he will explain things to us." A seed had been planted in this woman's life. but she, at that stage, hadn't received grace. There was this head knowledge. She knew about Jacob's well. She knew about the prophets. She knew about where to worship. And she knew about future events, about the Messiah coming. But at this stage, she hadn't received grace. She hadn't received this heart knowledge. It was probably up until when he probably declared, the woman said, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Is this the place where she finds the true Saviour? His identity is revealed. Now, her sin was acknowledged and his identity revealed. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus got a drink from the woman in this version. I believe he probably didn't, but in verse 28 it says that then leaving her water jar. Now, at that stage it doesn't say that there was water in the jar or she'd actually drawn water from the well. But when you look at grace, there's nothing she could have done to get the living water. There was nothing that she could have done for Jesus to get this living water. And it's the same with grace. There's nothing that we can do on our own to receive God's grace. And that's salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember that grace is a freely given, unmerited favour and love of God. Could she have found her Saviour? Is this the Christ? It's interesting to note she didn't force her beliefs on them. If we go back down to verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. She opened up with a statement and then a question. Could this be the Christ? She allowed others to make up their own mind, to weigh up the matter. Now, at this point in time, Jesus had not turned her water into wine. There was no miracle to show us as such. All she had was, "He told me everything I ever did." The gospel is telling us that she had something far more important, a knowledge of herself as she truly was. There was no miracle, only a conviction of sin and a realisation of his identity. There was definitely a conviction of sin. She went back to town and said, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Tonight, hopefully you followed the story that's interwoven with thoughts of grace. God's grace is not limited by race, social position, past sins, resistance by, even with the Samaritan woman, resisting, misunderstanding, immoral lifestyle or religion. The woman said, "Could this be the Christ?" Tonight, it's a question we must answer. The person, Jesus Christ, if he says he is the Christ and he is the Christ, but if you are wondering, could this be the Christ? Is this the person that is the Saviour of the world? There must be a decision on our part. These people in this town made that decision and they actually came toward him. They made their way toward him through this girl's testimony, or this woman's testimony. It doesn't matter who you are, what you did, or where you come from. If you're still confused, God's grace is waiting. It's unlimited. He's freely given unmerited favour and love. Be like this Samaritan woman. Recognise your sin. Realise his identity and then reach out to Christ. God's grace is not overlooking our faults and sins, but God seeing his Son. And that's a grace personified. Now I'll just set up while Darren's getting ready. For the sake of time, I'm not going to, see, my mouth's fairly dry as it is, but I'm just going to read through the words. It was a song that was on my heart as I was reading through the message and actually trying to work out what I was going to speak upon. And so I'll just read it through. It's called Grace Personified. And my life was messed up with sin that never stopped. And my life, it was stuck between death and ticking clocks. Because I was lost until you found me. I was deaf until you heard. I was blind, but now I can see, left speechless with your words. Only grace could free the guilty. Only grace could be the way. Only grace could you give new meaning to my life. To stoop so low, to lift us high, you paid the price we could not buy. You welcomed us, the world says goodbye. Jesus is grace personified. I was guilty and ran away, was a sinner, sin's not erased. I was helpless in this human race, needing mercy, needing grace. Wounds in hands and feet and side, the Son of Man was crucified. With his love he bled and died, Jesus is grace personified. I used to scale the walls of arrogance, used to swim the river of ignorance. My pinnacles were my weakness, but then I found you when you found me. It's your grace, took my sin, took my place. It's your grace, grace that cleanses me. You're the truth, we were the lie. You're our hope, you are alive. You plead for us at God's right side. You are grace personified. To stoop so low, to lift us high, you paid the price we could not buy. You're the water when we were dry. Jesus is grace personified.